Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God, this is Macedonian Call around the globe. Praise the Lord, coming to you again on the Friday night. And we just so glad to be with you all, Evangelist Clint Green and myself, Evangelist Joanna Green. And we just... good to be with you, and we want to recognize this is the Lord, that the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And tonight's subject is on righteousness. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have Rachel, our daughter. She's 10 years old, and we really love to hear her read her scriptures. She's been doing really well. About 5 days ago, she picked up a Bible, and actually it was downloaded app on her tablet, and she started reading, and she's already on Genesis 14, praise God, and we're so proud of her for doing that. She wasn't told to do it. She just wanted to do it on her own. So we thank God for, you know, if we read the Word of God and have the Lord will write it on the tables of our heart. And when we need it, we may not remember everything, but when we need it, God will bring it back to our memories. Praise the Lord. And here's Rachel.
Matthew 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteousness shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Praise God. Amen. So right now we want to start off. I know we had the introductory song, but I feel led to just start out with a song tonight. So we hope that this blesses you. And just listen to this. Praise God. A lot of you have already heard it before, but tonight's subject's on righteousness. So call in if you want to be a caller and be part of this broadcast. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Hallelujah.
Oh, two cards before me, an old and a new. Oh, I could have either. What must I do? Oh, one card. something so rare. He brought me this new coat and now see me wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Tell you the best thing I ever did. Put on the news.
and shake somebody's hands. That's exactly what I did. Come on, tell them. Say, I'm born again.
Praise God. And you know what? That's what we're talking to you about tonight is righteousness. So, you know, he's talking about two coats there. That's Pastor Tommy Bates in Independent, Kentucky. And we enjoy his singing, praise the Lord, and his ministry. We enjoy the preaching that he does. And you know, I thank God that one day we laid off that old coat. Did you lay off the old coat? You know, it don't matter what kind of coat you wear in the natural. It don't matter if it's black, or it don't matter if it's blue. It doesn't matter if it's red or yellow or whatever color it is. But, you know, it's not talking about a natural coat. It's talking about sin. You know, when we're born into this life, we are born under the curse of Adam and Eve, what happened in the garden. And, you know, when we come to the age of accountability, it's up to us to lay down that old coat and get born again, get saved, and put on the righteousness of God. And that's the new coat, praise the Lord. It had never been worn. You never wore it before. Nicodemus said, how can I enter again for the second time in my mother's womb? Jesus wasn't talking about being born again in that way. He was talking about being born again of the Spirit, praise the Lord, in the water, saved and lay off the sins and take Jesus Christ of what he done for you. Praise the Lord. We've got some requests tonight. Brother Tim Hall, he wants us to continue to remember him, that the Lord will help him and Sister Frida, his wife, to continue to pray for financial reasons and physical and spiritual. Praise the Lord. So, God, we want the Lord to move for Brother Tim Hall. He's an evangelist, and really we have a lot of confidence in him. Praise the Lord. And we'll continue to turn those in as the broadcast goes on. And we had a lot of requests on Monday night when Brother Yearwood was in revival. We put it on Facebook for anyone that had a prayer request. We wanted them to turn them in. So there's a whole bunch out there that needs God to move, healing on their body or in their body, loved ones needing saved, and financial reasons and spiritual reasons. God knows all about the request. But we need to really pray that this country gets turned around. This country was founded on Christianity. The forefathers that come over here, they escaped. They left the land that they were once in to come over here to have freedom of religion. And it was a Christian-based religion. Other religions came into the country, but our government was set up under Christianity. And there's all kind of things nowadays that's happening that surely our forefathers never meant to happen, and they would have stopped it. And there was lots of bloodshed for the freedom of our country, for Christianity, for the Lord, for his word, praise God, for the King James Bible, praise God. When they came over here in the very beginning, they brought over the Geneva Bible, and then King James, we were under the law of King James, so to speak, under the rule of him, and he took out the footnotes, and he had the men come together and to make the King James Bible without footnotes. And that's what the King James Bible is. But, you know, and then we broke away from the rule of King James, and we had our own government set up, and our president, George Washington, and all that, all of them prayed to Jesus. When they opened up in prayer with the Senate and the House, they opened up, and at the end they said, in the name of Jesus, praise God. We teach Rachel, and we teach her American history, and things have really been changing so much in the schools of the public schools, and they're trying to change the Christian schools, and they're trying to rewrite history like it never happened, the way that we know it happened. Praise God, just within the last 100 years, our nation is really spiraling down quickly. So God's going to have a real church, praise the Lord. Somebody told me the other day that God wasn't coming back, or God was coming back, but he wouldn't find a perfect church. There's no such thing. But I got news for you. In the Word of God, he is coming back after a perfect church. He is coming back after a church that's making herself ready without spot and blemish. Praise God. So there is a perfect church. Maybe everybody that goes into the building is not a perfect in the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is perfect, for Jesus Christ himself is perfect. So if you're in Jesus, if you're part of the body, you're perfect because his blood covers you. Praise the Lord. And if you mess up, you have an advocate with the Father. If you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And our subject tonight is righteousness. So however the callers want to go with it, there's all kind of righteousness. There's self-righteousness. There's godly righteousness. And there's religious spirits out there, people that are Pharisees and Sadducees, and they have their, I guess that would be considered self-righteous. So, and then there's a sinner folk that just says, I'm going to do my own thing and do whatever I want to do, and that's also self-righteous. So we've got to come under the law of God, the law of liberty, praise the Lord. I see we have a caller, 423, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Sister Green. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood, and we're glad that you called in tonight. And we just want you to obey God, and we thank the Lord for you. And maybe some others will call in after a while, but why don't you go ahead and obey the Lord, brother?
Well, okay. We got some prayer requests we need to turn in, Sister Joanne, and I don't know, right now I'm real short-winded and hurting in my chest, so I'd appreciate just back up here for a little bit, and maybe I get feeling a little bit better, but I'll let Betty go ahead and turn the prayer request in.
Amen.
A little 4-year-old girl died in Dalton, Georgia from a brain aneurysm. Let's remember that family. And my niece Debbie, she needs healing in her mind. And Linda Tant needs a miracle. Debbie Edinburgh needs a miracle. She had a hysterectomy because of cancer. And they also took out a tumor the size of a 4-month-old unborn baby. And she has stage 4 lymph cancer and lung cancer. And remember David Keller that has cancer. Steve Woods wants everyone to pray that he'll be able to make the trip to North Carolina this weekend. He's got a revival scheduled up there. So he's got infection in his leg, so just remember him. Remember Glenna Talent that has a broken leg. Wanda and Rufus Bivens, they need healing in their body. Keith Green and Fred Brannon need miracles. They have cancer. And let's remember that 2-year-old baby that's fighting for her life that was in the car wreck. And Kevin Miller and family, and Kevin Miller's mom that has cancer, let's remember her. She needs a miracle. Starlet Ward's on dialysis and needs prayer. And Pastor Rick Harris needs a healing. I think it has to do with his heart. Let's remember Sister Debbie Samples tonight. She's been battling the flu, had the sore throat and all that. And let's remember Dolores Garcia's job. She's having problems on it. And Gladys needs prayer for her uncle that has cancer. Martha Garcia that got surgery, had surgery on her leg, and she's still having pain in it. Brother John's grandson that has 2 types of cancer, and another grandson that has some kind of a bad disease that's supposed to be incurable, but we know that God can heal it. And my niece, Brenda, that has cancer and that's on dialysis, and her dad, Roy Ward, that has cancer. And let's remember Gladys's son that has asthma. And all of our kids need to be saved.
Praise the Lord. Sister Joanne?
Yes.
I'll just back up here and just listen for a little while, if you don't hear. And you can just go ahead and obey the Lord, and I'll just listen for a little while.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, and we'll be praying for you too, Brother. The Lord will give you strength. Sister Gladys also says that she's going to be praying for all of us and listening to the broadcast tonight. So pray for traveling mercies for her when she comes home tomorrow, her and Brother Tim. Also pray her ribs. She's still hurting in a lot of pain from the fractures. She had fallen about a week ago, I guess. Pray for Rachel and Yashi, the young man in Israel there, and also pray for John and Gary. So we miss Sister Gladys when she's not on here, and thank God for everyone that turns in prayer requests, that they have confidence in us to pray, and we know it's not us that does it, but we know it's God that moves on these, and I just feel humble tonight. If you want to be part of this, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, we're speaking on righteousness. Praise the Lord. And at this time, I'm going to have Evangelist Clint Green come in. He's going to obey the Lord for a little while here and praise God.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. I don't know where everybody's at tonight, but I tell you, God is in control tonight. He's Amen. On the throne. He's never lost any power. So we just pray for these people that's been requested and, you know, before the end of the broadcast. And I want to go ahead here and read something. And we're preaching on righteousness. And, you know, we have to have righteousness with God. Unless we do not have his righteousness, then we're not saved. But when we get saved, when we give our heart to God, the Bible talks about being born again. We're born of God. And when we're born of God, he gives us of his Spirit. He sends his Spirit into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And that makes us sons of God. And we are now the sons of God. The Bible said, you know, that the world doesn't know, really don't know who we are. But, you know, they didn't know who Jesus was either until they had crucified him, put him on the cross, and they had done all those things to him. You know, the world's doing a lot of things today to the Christian community, or if I could put it that way, to the Christian church. You know, they're persecuting the church overseas, and even in our country, there's a different kind of persecution. They're doing things to change the laws and to bring other things in. And I'm preaching on righteousness, but I'll tell you, we need to hold up for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel, because the enemy would like to snuff out our light if they could. And we're in a warfare, and we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I tell you, when you hear about people being killed for the gospel's sake, being beheaded and thrown in jail, and, you know, in these different countries, you wonder how long it's going to be before it reaches our shores. And, you know, I think somebody had made a statement that the United States was not a Christian nation, but I don't know how they could make that kind of statement, because if you drive through all these little towns all over this country, you'll find Christian churches, And they're preaching Jesus, and they're preaching. They may be a little bit different in some of their doctrines, but they're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And, you know, there's a few that's kind of off the wall, and we wouldn't even consider them Christian, but for the main part, this little town I live in, well, there must be probably three or four churches, more than that probably, and around different places there are little towns that I've been through. I went down to visit some people in Georgetown down there, Sadieville, Kentucky, and there was churches everywhere. And I tell you, this is a Christian nation, and we need to hold up for the Christian principles and the things that go with being a Christian nation. You know, everybody that names the name of Christ is not a Christian, but I'll tell you tonight, we have the righteousness of God if we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read this scripture. I meant to read it just a few minutes ago, but I had Rachel read this. It says, "Then shall the righteous," this is Matthew 13:43, "then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And now Jesus was talking about something here that he had said, and back up here to verse 37, or verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world." Praise God. It says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And then this is the verse I read before. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we know tonight that if we follow Jesus, we are righteous. But if we go the way of the world, we have no righteousness. Our righteousness, one place the Bible said, was as filthy rags, because there in the Old Testament, they were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And God had commanded them to do something else, but they would not obey God. So they began to do their own thing, and they were still trying to say that they was righteous. But, you know, if we don't obey God, we're not going to be righteous. You know, if we don't stay in the grace of God, and between the lines of that straight and narrow way, you know, there's a highway of holiness, and the righteous are on that highway. And, you know, you can get off of that highway, because I believe the devil is trying to get people off of that highway, praise God. I believe he's trying to stop you and everything you're doing for God. He's trying to send roadblocks. He's trying to bring against you different people and things to try to stop you from obeying God. But I'll tell you, if we'll obey God, I'll tell you, we'll be okay when the judgment day comes, when it's all over and done, and when he sends his angels and he separates the chaff from the wheat. I'll tell you, when he gathers them up and burns them, we won't go to that fire. We'll go to a better place. We'll go to a place where we'll never die, but we got to have the righteousness of God, or we'll never make it. I want to read something in Isaiah 53:11, and I want to turn back to Isaiah. And the Bible tells us quite a bit here in the book of Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter. And, you know, that's where He was the Lamb of God. And I tell you, he went to that cross to save us. He went to that cross to pay the sin debt that we owed that we could never pay. He went there not because he needed to go, not because he needed to die for his sins, because he had no sin. But he went there because we had sin. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent him into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he said one place, he said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Praise God. And I tell you, he was lifted up there at the cross. And I tell you, he died. The Bible said in 53rd chapter of Isaiah, in 11th verse, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, tonight we're not just righteous. We have not just gained righteousness, but we are justified, praise God, by faith in Christ from things that we could never be justified through the law. The law could not take away sin. The law just pointed and showed man their sin, showed them that they needed a Savior and they needed a sacrifice, and they sacrificed many animals. And they took them, and they'd take them to the priest, and the priest would shed the blood of those animals. But that blood could never take away sin. It only covered that sin until Christ was going to come. You know, the law, if all they had was the law, they'd be lost, you know. And that's what Paul the Apostle was trying to tell them, that they were not justified by the law, but they were saved through grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. Now I want to look here again. I want to read a little bit more here in Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. And it says here in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He came to bear their sins. He came to take their sins away. But see, he was the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And it was not just the sin of Israel, but it was the sin of the whole world that Jesus came to take away. In verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. See, he was offering for sin to pay the sin debt. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And that today, friend, is what makes us righteous, because Jesus took away our sins at the cross. And if you'll accept the pardon for your sin and accept the one that paid that pardon, which is Christ Jesus, the one that died on that cross. And praise God, he came to Israel. He came to his own, but they thrust him away, and they desired a murderer. They said, give us Barabbas. And I believe it was Pilate. He questioned Jesus, and he wanted to know what truth is. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that he had told his disciples over in John chapter 14. But I tell you tonight that we can't get to heaven without the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I think there's a scripture, I believe, in 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to try to read that scripture to you, if I can find it here. We cannot go to heaven in our own righteousness, because our righteousness is really no good. There is no one can go to heaven without the righteousness of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus, or not Jesus, but Paul the Apostle, was telling them about being born again. In other words, being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And when he gets down here in the 17th verse, I'll read that right there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, when I got saved, when I gave my heart to Christ, I didn't go back to the bars anymore. I didn't go back to drinking. I poured everything out, if I had anything. I can't remember now if I had anything in the refrigerator or not. But people come along trying to drag me back into the way that I came out of. But, you know, I came out of that way, and now I've gone a different way, praise God. And I'm not going back to what I was. You know, I'm a free person. I mean, God, I belong to the Lord. But if I want to walk away, I could, you know. People can do what they will to do. Even the angels, the Bible said, had a free will. And a third part of them decided they was going to join up with Lucifer. And the war was in heaven, and rebellion was in heaven. And there was a battle in somewhere in the heavenlies. And they fought against God's angels and tried to overthrow the kingdom of God. But they'll never overthrow that kingdom, praise God, because we know the rest of the story, and we've got it written in the book, praise God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's what we're doing tonight, is trying, if you're lost, to try to reconcile you back to God. Because if you're not saved tonight, then you are away from God and you're lost. And if you're not saved tonight, you don't have the righteousness of God. And God's going to judge this world one of these days. And he's going to look at people, and you know, in the judgment, and if their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then they're going to be lost, praise God, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. In other words, we know there in the 19th verse that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And like I say, you know, the Lord died on that cross. He carried our sins, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He did all these things. He was smitten and afflicted, and he carried those. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he went there as the Lamb of God, and they crucified him, spit in his face. They did all kind of things to him. They platted a crown of thorn and placed it on his head. And I'll tell you what, he took the curse away. He took the curse away so that man could be saved, so that we wouldn't have to kill no more sacrifices, because he is that sacrifice, the last sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could ever take away sin. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, it's talking about Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know, Abraham was a man that believed God. I think I've got it wrote down here somewhere about Abraham. But before we go there, see here. Romans 10. Let's go to Romans. I hope you got your Bible. Okay, Romans 10 and 1 through 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, you say, I'm going to add something in here. You might say, well, why would they have to be saved? They're God's chosen people. A lot of people will say that. But I'll tell you something. They must be born again just the same as Gentiles that didn't know God had to be. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you push him away, you do not have the righteousness of God. You're still in your sins if you reject the Savior. And he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they said, we'll just keep the law and we'll crucify this man and we'll keep doing what we've been doing. But I want you to know when he died on that cross, I want you to know that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. It messed up their program when Christ died at the cross. And I wonder what they thought when that great rent come there in that veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. I wonder what they were thinking. If there was anybody standing close, I'd say they ran out of that temple fast as they could go, thinking it was an earthquake or something going on. But, you know, that's probably how they passed it off. They probably said, well, the earthquake did it. But I'll tell you something, it wasn't the earthquake that done it. It was God. You know, when Paul, I believe it was Paul and Silas, was in the prison, I'll tell you, the earthquake came and loosed them and got them out of that prison. And, you know, I'll tell you, I think there might have been an earthquake. We don't know. But I know one point there around the time of the cross, it was either when he went into the heart of the earth or when he came out, there was an earthquake and the stone was rolled away. Praise God. Let me go on here. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, when I believe in Jesus, I don't have to go back to the law. I don't have to go back and go to the high priest and all the priests and whoever it is. I don't have to go tell them my sins, you know, and have them lay their hands on a bullock or a turtle dove or whatever it is. And I don't need another scapegoat or whatever to turn loose in the wilderness. And I don't need one to die for me because Christ has already paid that price. And for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See, he fulfilled the law and he did everything that he was supposed to do. And when he did that, it was finished. And when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he had done it all. He had done the things that had been written of him concerning the law and what he had to do. And I go on here a little further. It says, but the righteousness, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And he goes on to tell them in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now he's talking about calling on the name of Jesus. And he's saying, this is the way it is. The Lord is so nigh at hand, my friend, that he hears every word you say. And he's a-watching to see what you're doing. But I tell you, he said there in verse 9, well, let me back up here, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? See, you don't have to build a tower to heaven like they did there in the book of Genesis that reached unto heaven. You don't have to build something to try to climb up high enough or get up in some high mountain to where you can pray to where the Lord will hear you. It says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. See, we can't go up and bring him down, or who shall descend into the deep? I don't care how far down you go into this earth. Maybe you found a cave and you want to get back there, way back there, somewhere and pray, and you think the Lord will hear you. But I tell you what, he hears you. I don't care if there's a whole crowd of people all around you, and you talk to the Lord and he'll hear you. Praise God. And he's telling us it's this easy to be saved. You don't have to go find you a sacrifice somewhere. You don't have to. You know, this is not, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, by that sacrifice that he made. And I'm preaching on righteousness. It might not sound like it, but I am, because he is our righteousness. It says, or who shall descend into the deep? For that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Well, I'm telling you, he ain't dead. He's alive. Paul thought he was dead too, and he persecuted the Christian. He went around trying to get them to blaspheme and trying to get them to deny Christ. And he found out on the road to Damascus when that bright light shined and the Lord spoke out of that light. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I tell you, you can persecute the Christian if you want to, but someday you're going to end up, running face to face with the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you're persecuting. And it might not be in a good way. Paul found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he found grace because the Lord knew that he could use Paul. And he was an educated man, and he had a heart that he loved God with all his heart. But he just didn't know that Jesus was the answer. And there's people out there in false religions tonight that love the God that they're calling on with all their heart. But they do not know, they don't know the Christ, the Savior. And you can't get to God if you don't have that man called Christ, believe in him, and your sins be washed away. It says here, but what saith it? Now this is the next verse. Like I said, Christ is not dead. You can't go into the deep and bring him back from the dead. He's not dead, he's alive. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So it says also that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I wonder today, when you think about those two thieves, when they crucified Christ on that hill called Golgotha, when they crucified him between two thieves, and they railed on him for a while, both of them. Then it says a little bit later that the one man changed his mind. It sounds like that he was looking at Jesus, and he finally figured out that this man was the Savior. And he said, when thou comest in to thy kingdom, he said, remember me. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I wonder what kind of works that man had. According to the Bible, they were bad works. According to the Bible, he was a thief. And according to the Bible, it's possible that he might have been a murderer. We don't know. But whatever he was, they was killing him because of his sins. And he said, we're being justly condemned, but this man, he's an innocent man. And that's when he called on the Lord for salvation. So he didn't have any works at all. All he had was the ability to call on the Lord, and he had faith that Jesus was the Son of God, and that's all it took. And I'll tell you, if you're on your deathbed tonight, if you're in a hospital somewhere and they ain't giving you much chance of making it, don't wait. Get a hold of the Lord tonight. Call on him, or whether it's daytime where you're at, call on Jesus and ask him to have mercy on you and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And if he saved the thief on the cross, I'm sure, my friend, he'll save you. And he can hear you when you call. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Well, the word of faith which we preach is Jesus Christ was crucified. He died on the cross for you and me and for the sins of the whole world, that whosoever will could come and take of the water of life freely. And that water of life is eternal life. And you can get that down in your soul by calling on the name of Jesus and believing in thy heart. You know, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, I had to believe that Jesus was the Savior. I had to believe that the one they were preaching to me, how that he died on the cross, that he died for my sins, I had to believe that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that Moses talked about. You see, Moses gave them the law, but he gave them more than the law. He told them that the Lord our God would raise up someone likened unto him from amongst the brethren, or in other words, from their people, and whosoever would not hear this one, this man, would be cut off. And he was saying, you're going to be lost, is what he was saying. And that man came and died on that cross. He was the one. And they hated him. You know, Joseph was hated of his brethren back there in the book of Genesis. And they sold him into slavery. And, you know, they sold him into the Amalekites or some Midianites or somebody they sold him to. They took him down into Egypt. But they hated him. And, you know, he was a type of Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ. And his own brethren hated him. And you know, that's what happened to Jesus. His own brethren, the ones he came to bring out of darkness and to give them everlasting life and to forgive their sins, well, they thrust him away. Well, let me go on a little further. It says, for with the heart a man believeth. Let me back up verse 9 again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he went in that tomb, and the third day he came out. And he went back to the Father, and he told him it was expedient for him to go away. For if he went not away, the Comforter would not come. But he said, if I go, I will send him. I'll send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see, you cannot receive the Spirit of Truth until you begin to call on Jesus, until you get your sins washed away and you get that righteousness that he went to that cross to pay for. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And like I say, you have to call in the name of Jesus. That's the name. His name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And his people is those that call on him, those that follow him, those that obey him. For whosoever, in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the Bible says here in the 14th verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, in a lot of countries, there's a lot of people that don't believe. And the reason they don't believe is because they've never heard the preaching of the gospel. They have never heard a preacher preach the gospel of salvation. They have never heard how Jesus died on the cross, how he carried our sins in his own body on that tree, how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. I'm going to turn it back here. I'm going to take a break, turn it back here to Sister Joanna.
Praise the Lord. Tonight, if you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Praise God. It's so important that we get this word out. I tell you, time is running short. We are definitely in the last days. You just turn on the news report and you can see the things that are taking place right before our eyes. A lot of people that are Christians, some of them have said, I've heard with my own ears, that they thought that the church would surely be gone out of here before a time like that is at the present. And we don't know how much more we're going to have to face before our Lord Jesus Christ comes back for the church. But we must be ready. We are no different than those of our forefathers that have been persecuted for Christ's sake. And, you know, it's scriptural. He said that we would be persecuted for his name's sake. I want to read to you in Matthew 24. I know we've got some callers, but I want to just obey the Lord here for just a moment. In Matthew 24, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now the disciples at this time, when he ascended back up to heaven, they was waiting, and the angel of the Lord said, why stand here gazing? And they were expecting Jesus to come right back immediately, right then, and set up his kingdom here on this earth. And you know, I was thinking about all the things that are taking place at this present time that we are at this very moment. How the knowledge has increased, the worldly knowledge, just within the last 100 years that I talked about earlier. How it's grown just so quickly, technology. And Brother Green was talking about the Tower of Babel. You know, at the Tower of Babel, God caused the language to be changed so that they wouldn't understand one another, and there was a great confusion so that they wouldn't continue to try to build this tower. And how today, how we have the internet, and all languages can be translated into the language that the listener is listening to. You can change your setting to Spanish. If you're Spaniard, you could change your setting to Russian. If you're Russian, you could change your language to over in Italy. If you're Italian, you can change it to English if you're in America or an English-speaking country. And so man thinks that they have really done something again, like the Tower of Babel. And God has a plan. You know, everything that's taken place is fulfilling of the Bible. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but the principalities of the air. And there's an army, praise God, that if you're born again Christian, that you belong to. And our weapons of warfare are not carnal. God said that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Things that are taking place in other countries, he said there would be wars and rumors of wars. There's coming a war that's against you and I. That's a coming. It's for Christ's sake. It talks about in Matthew 25 that the disciples were listening to Jesus talk about this. And they thought it was going to be in their time. But friends, I have news for you. This here time that Jesus is talking about is in our time. Not one stone will be left of one upon another. It will be all thrown down. And you know, that's the chief. That's those in high places of this earth. Those kings, there's 10 kingdoms that's going to have power in the last days. There's 7 heads that rode upon the beast in the last day, and it says 5 were fallen, and 1 is, and 1 is yet to come, and at the 8th is of the 7th. You need to listen to me tonight. The Bible said, sound the alarm, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. This is a warning going out. Praise God. I may never get to preach again on radio broadcast worldwide. Praise the Lord. But 5 that are fallen of these power, of these heads, there was kingdoms. There was the Babylon that's fallen. There was the Medes and the Persians that has fallen. There was Greece that has fallen. There was the Roman Empire that has fallen. And there's the League of Nations that has fallen. There's one is, that's the 6th head on the beast. The one is now today, and that is the United Nations. And when the United Nations fall and the one world government sets up in its kingdom and given power, that's the 7th head. And then we better watch out, because that's the beginning of tribulation. And then out of the 7th comes the 8th. In 3.5 years, a time and a time and a half a time, the man of perdition will come upon the scene. And he will fix the economy, so he'll say. And all the people will have confidence, and if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That they will put their trust in this man that has the number 666. They'll either take the image of the beast, they'll take his name, or they'll take his number. Praise God. You know, and there's a warning coming out tonight. Jesus said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. This is still Matthew 24, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm telling you, friend, we are a nation that is not found upon a map. We are in a godly nation. We are in the true God. This is why it's so important that we preach righteousness, God's righteousness. You must be born again. There's only one way to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. You know, the Senate had opened up prayer with some body. It's all over internet, and I can just tell you, I don't know this to be true. It's just hearsay, and it's been on internet. But whether it be true, it's come, and I tell you, I don't know that it's true. I wasn't there at the Senate at the meeting. But Hirtel is saying that a monk had opened up prayer of the United States Senate was a Buddha. And he said that they prayed a Buddha and many gods. And he did that right before our Senate in his language and in our English language. And it never has this ever been known in history. I'm sounding an alarm tonight. I'm giving warning. We are right there. If this here could take place any moment now, the man of perdition, and he can set up himself at any time in the heart of man. I tell you, people think that a temple is going to be built over there in Jerusalem, but I've got news. He is setting up his kingdom in the heart of man. In verse 9 of Matthew 24, it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. They burnt them at the stake for the word of Jesus Christ. We're no different, friends. Praise God. He said, you'll be persecuted for my name's sake. In verse 10, chapter 24 of Matthew says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what we're doing here tonight. Praise God. Never did we ever dream that we could ever go worldwide preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. What's it mean, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place? You and I were holy tonight if you're born again. You were created to be a temple of God. And this is where he's going to stand in the holy place. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Everybody's watching over there, over in Israel. But I got news for you. It's in the heart of man. Praise the Lord. But who, praise God, whose righteousness are you going to take on tonight? Are you going to take off that old coat, that sin way, that sinful way, and put on the new coat, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Whosoever readeth, let him understand. When the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, do you think this was happening when Jesus was talking to the disciples? No. This is in the last days. This is in Revelation, praise God, that John on the Isle of Patmos was given it even more and more depth about the horses and about the pestilence and about the famine and how there would be a praise God, let's go on. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Where's Judea? It's you and I. Mount Zion is you and I. We are in the mountain of God because we're born again. We're not looking over yonder in the natural place. I know I might make some Christians mad, but he said that they'll end up hating one another because we're telling them the truth. We got to watch this here. Praise the Lord. Let him which is on the mountaintop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back. to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. What's that mean? Be careful, young Christians, those that are on the milk of the word that don't understand. Don't be caught being ignorant. He said one time he winked at ignorance, but he's not going to wink at ignorance. You can't do your own thing because you didn't know or you didn't understand what was sin, what was not sin. He puts his spirit in you when you get saved. But pray ye that your flight not be in a winter, neither on the Sabbath day. What's this mean, not to have your flight be in a winter? When Jesus comes back, don't be cold on the Lord. We know winter is cold, and don't be cold on him. He knew a church. He talked to the church in Revelations. He said he knows their works. He said you've lost your first love. He'd rather you hot or cold, but they were found lukewarm, and he would spew them out of his mouth. Don't be caught in the winter. Don't let your flight be in a winter. How a tree falleth, so shall it lay. And if you're cold in the Lord, that's how you're going to lay. You don't have no other chance. Once Christ comes back for the church, there's no other chance. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Do you think he was talking to the disciples that it was going to be in their time when it says this in the Word of God? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, they were persecuted. The disciples were persecuted at the stake, except for John the Revelator, I believe it was, and they died, and they were burned upside down. I think Peter was really tortured really bad. And, you know, you would have thought that that was their great tribulation. And since then, there was the Book of Martyrs. You can read that. The Fox's Book of Martyrs, how men died and was burnt to death at the stake. You would have thought that that was the Great Tribulation. The Jews, they were burned at the Holocaust under Hitler. You would have thought that was the Great Tribulation. But such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. We are still here, folks. We are still Christians here on this land. There's a time coming like never known before. You better get ready because it is knocking at our door. Praise God. Get ready while you've got a chance, I'm telling you. We're no different than those of the Fox's Smart Book of Martyr. We're no different than those that the disciples that was burned at the stake. Praise God. Hallelujah. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What's that mean? Jesus is going to come quickly. It's a 7-year tribulation. Praise God. God's going to shorten those days. Praise the Lord. And we're not going to be here for the wrath of God. And I've got news for you. I've heard that folks say that the tribulation is from God. And it's not. It's of the devil. But the wrath of God is with God bringing revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. This world is going to go so far. These governments, these worldly kingdoms are going to go so far. And then God's going to come on the scene. But we, you and I, will be out of here. Just like Lot and his wife and his children. When they left Sodom, then God poured out his wrath. But the wrath of God is not tribulation. Praise God. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. You know, there's going to be signs and wonders, and the devil's going to have exploits, and he's going to be able to do things. And even the very elect would be deceived under these things. I see all kind of Christians on Facebook looking at horoscopes. You better not be dabbling in that kind of junk. You better believe in Jesus. You better believe in his word. And his word is true. This is the only way. Praise God. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what Jesus said. Any man try to come up any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Find this in Revelations, folks. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Praise God. And then shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Praise God, it sounds like these folks went through tribulation to me. But before he poured out his wrath, he came back and got them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready? Now learn the parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaf. Know ye that summer is nigh. Praise the Lord. That's you and I, folks. Praise God. We know them by the fruit that they bear. And you can read chapter 24 of Matthew and then read Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Goes right with the horsemen. Chapter 6, I believe it is the horsemen. And read that. You and I, we are in the tribes. We're the 12 tribes of Israel. Believe it or not, but we're under the one tribe, Judah, which is Jesus Christ. And they were tribes, they according to the works. When Jacob had his 12 sons, he named them according to what they did as an occupation. You and I are in the tribes tonight. We are born again. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He told the natural Jews, unless they be born again, unless they get rid of their sin, praise the Lord, they're of their father, the devil. And this is the world. We're talking to the world tonight. If you're not born again, you're not of the Jewish nation. That you are not a new Jerusalem that John saw coming down out of heaven. But if you're born again, you are that new Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know that this sounds different than most people ever heard. And I'm not going to take on any more time. Praise the Lord. We've lost Brother Yearwood. We need to pray for him. He's not feeling very well. And I know we have Brother John. We want you here in a moment, Brother, to come in. And Brother Green and I, we've already obeyed God. And first we want to play a song. And we're going to come back in and have you obey God, Brother John. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine, Sister Green. Yeah, that's fine.
Praise God. I hope you enjoy this here song. Hallelujah.
they've never been begging for bread.
Praise God. You know, before I turn it over to Brother John, I wanted to let you know that, you know, we are the Jews. You and I that are born again by Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you could be born again. You and I are considered Jews, and I can prove that to you that in Revelations when he talks to the seven churches of Asia, he said, I know them that say that they are Jews and are not. And you know, the only way you could be a Jew is if you're born again. You know, they talk about the Jews and the Gentiles, and at one time, the Jews were the people that had believed and walked and believed about God, Jehovah, of the Old Testament. Nowadays, there's a natural Jew over in a land called Israel, and they are not the chosen people. They have to be born again. They don't even accept Christ. They don't even receive the New Testament. They're basically anti-Christ, and I'm not picking on the natural Jews over yonder. But when he was talking to the seven churches of Asia, that was in Asia, he said, I know you them that say they are Jews and are not. This was in Asia. Meaning he's saying to the last day churches that he knows you that say you're born again and that are not. He would make you the synagogue of Satan. So the Jews over yonder, the ones that people say that they've got more or less a free ticket to get in, they don't have to have salvation because they're God's chosen. You and I are God's chosen if we've received Christ. And that's the only way. And once Jesus comes back for his church, there's not going to be a collective salvation to the natural blood Jew over yonder. It's going to be too late. Once Christ comes back, it's too late. Can they get saved? Absolutely. Praise God. Anybody that's not saved is a Gentile. There's not three types of people. There's not the Jews and the Gentiles and the sinners. You're either saved or you ain't. There's not saved, you ain't saved, and the Jews. There's only two kind of people. You either saved or you're not saved. So you that are saved, we that are saved, are the Jews. Those that are not saved are the Gentiles. I'm no longer a Gentile. I hear churches and preachers preaching in the Christian church that we are the Gentiles. We are not Gentiles. We're born again. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are Jews. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. He told the natural seed of Abraham, you're of your father the devil. Said that Abraham loved and rejoiced to see my day. Praise God. I love the Lord, Pastor John. I'm going to turn it to you. And you just take your time, brother. We've already obeyed God. And we're going to pray over the prayer request. After you get done, Pastor, just go ahead and turn in your prayer request too. And we'll pray over these.
Okay. Appreciate that. Appreciate that so much. Got a couple prayer requests real quick. Have a 2-year-old little girl that's having some bowel problems, and a 2-year-old boy, he's not quite 2 years old, having problems and facing surgery possibly with his ears. And so let's just remember them. Continue to remember my wife and church, and my wife's doing a whole lot better. She's on the mend, but just continue that the Lord will strengthen her, and I appreciate that. And but tonight we are talking about righteous and the righteousness of God. And God began to deal with me out of Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This is the prophetic utterance about the Lord Jesus Christ and the office of Christ. Amen. And he said, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. As Brother Green was bringing out earlier about the opening, amen, and talking about Paul and Silas as they were there in Acts chapter 16. So to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So they were talking about the acceptable year is the year of Jubilee, and it's talking about the day of vengeance, as Sister Green was speaking about the day of vengeance of God. That vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He said, to appoint unto him, the Spirit was upon him, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Now, we are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This was his planting, amen, and each one was planting in the righteousness, amen, as the Spirit of the Lord God was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his planting. This was his harvest. This was his remnant, amen, and even as Brother Green was speaking about the wheat and the tares, amen, that this wheat was belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and herein is he glorified. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 8, that we bear much fruit. The Bible says he is the true vine, amen, and we are the branches, and amen, so we must abide in that vine that we bring forth. But for without him, the Bible says we can do nothing. So abiding in him as he is the one that plants the trees of righteousness, amen. And this is, the scripture teaches in Corinthians the Apostle Paul planted, Apollos watered, which was the disciple of John the Baptist. But God gives the increase, and God is giving the increase tonight, increase in righteousness, amen. And as Brother Green brought out in Isaiah, speaks about that our righteousness are as filthy rags unto the Father. We have no righteousness. The Bible says, in fact, in Romans, amen, it speaks of that none were righteous, no, not one. But amen, because of the righteousness of Christ, they come in. And he said in verse 4 that, and they shall build, the trees shall build. Amen. As trees are, amen, I've heard Sister Green speak many times about, the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. Amen. But these are trees of life. These are trees and plantings of the Lord. The righteousness, amen, are in these trees. These are the ones that have been placed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they belong to him. And these trees will build the old waste. These trees of righteousness shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. Because they have let these places fall, amen, because of their idleness, amen, not putting their hand to the plow, not putting their hand to the work of the Lord, amen. And so these things have fallen to waste, fallen to desolations, fallen to repair. But there's a repair of the breach tonight, amen. There's a restored paths to dwell in. His name is Jesus. He said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap to make up a hedge, but I didn't find any. He said, with my own arm, amen, I brought salvation. Tonight, amen, he says in strangers, verse 5, to stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, that ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. He said, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He would make that everlasting covenant with those that were had received their righteousness. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You know, those that have the blessings of God, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow. The scriptures teach us in Psalms that bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. These benefits are only to the children of God. These benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ are only available to those that have received the righteousness of Christ. He said, I will verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Oh, tonight, church, he has covered you with his salvation, and he's covered you with a robe of righteousness. Amen. Amen. He's decked you, amen, and adorned you with precious jewels, with the pearls, amen, and the precious cornerstones, and the jewels that are in, amen, the foundation of New Jerusalem, amen, and the foundation, amen, in the chief priest, amen, breastplate. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. You know, the Lord is causing his righteousness to come before all nations. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation. We need to know tonight, amen, in Luke chapter 15, he's speaking about the parable of the prodigal son. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after the younger son had gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So after not many days after he had received, amen, the portion of goods, amen, of his inheritance, amen, he left his father's house, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He had lost all that he had. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So here he went far away. Tonight, amen, as we receive the inheritance, there are many that are wanting to leave the Father's house after they receive their portions of goods. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and send portions to them where nothing is prepared. These were the portions of the Father. These were the Father's portion that was given unto the younger son. Amen. And he was divided up, amen, and he wasted his substance, amen, with riotous living, and he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Tonight, if you take on the righteousness of Christ, amen, you shall not want for anything. And the Bible says that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. So he joined himself to a far-off land, to a far-off place, to an alien there. The Bible says that those who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. And he talked about being an alien and a stranger. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 16 that he would faint, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He gone to his place that only God, amen, could give unto him. But he got to a place where, amen, just like it said, just like the song that Sister Green played a while ago, that's Psalm 37:25. David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen his righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. But here this man who had lived in the Father's house, who had the Father's goods, who received the Father's inheritance, began to be in want, began to be a beggar, began to desire, amen, amen, desire, amen, would have to beg for his food. And the Bible says that when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Here he was coming because he had fallen away. He went as far away as he could from the Father, spent all his inheritance, everything that he had. He had wasted his substance. He had wasted his life. These were the waste places that the scriptures were speaking about in Isaiah 61. That amen, and begin to build, amen, the trees of righteousness. He remembers where he was planted. He remembered where he came from, and he came to himself. He even thought about going back, amen, and going back to the Father's house. He knew that in the Father's house, even the hired servants had more than enough bread to spare. And the Bible says that he said, I will rise and go to my Father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Church, tonight, the Father saw you afar off coming back to him, saw you repenting, saw you repenting unto his righteousness, saw you coming back, and he's had compassion upon you, and he fell upon your neck and kissed you. And the Bible says in this sense, saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in John chapter 15, for we clean by the words we've spoken to you. Amen. And so we need to know tonight that at the moment we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He comes, amen, just like the Bible says, that the Father said unto his servants, he always proclaimed he was no more worthy to be called his son. But he said, bring forth the best robe. What did the Lord say in Isaiah 61:10? He said, I will put on the robe of righteousness. I will adorn you as a bride. Amen. He come on. He said, bring the very best robe. Bring the robe of righteousness. Bring my robe and put it upon my son, proclaiming that you're still a son. Tonight, God wants to robe you in his righteousness. He wants to wrap you up and clothe you and adorn you with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. You know, the Bible says in Esther, I believe it is Esther 8:8, it talks about, hallelujah, it says, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writings which is written in the king's name and sealed the king's ring, may no man reverse. What he was saying is, no man, he couldn't reverse that he was his son. Amen. He still had the ring. He still had the seal. He still had the authority. He was still the Father's son. Tonight, church, amen. By God's grace and mercy, just as Brother Green said, for we're saved by grace through faith, which is not a gift to ourselves, it's a gift of God. And tonight we need to know when God puts on the robe of righteousness, when he gives us the ring of righteousness of the Father, saying that we're still the Son. Amen. As he's brought us back and sealed, because what the king's ring, amen, no man can reverse. No man can reverse. When you start repenting and confessing your sins and coming back to the Father, the Father will robe you in his righteousness. And then the Bible says, amen, that he put on the new shoes. Hallelujah. He gave him the Father's shoes. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. All church, he's getting ready to change you and redeem you. Says, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And hallelujah, you know what? The Father took off his shoes, took off the preparation of the gospel of peace, and gave it to the Son. Amen. The Son was in disarray. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, amen, the first thing he did was come back to the Father's house. The first thing he did was repent. Amen. And the Bible says, so here we have new shoes on his feet. Here we have a ring on his hand. Here we have the robe of righteousness, the ring of righteousness. Amen. And he said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Oh, hallelujah. They begin to rejoice because his son, who was dead, was now alive in his righteousness. You know, just as Brother Green had talked about, amen, before, amen, and coming in there, and he said about the blood of bulls, that it would not, amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, says in verse 11, so, but Christ, chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And just as Sister Green brought out about the abomination, the desolation, sitting in the temple, amen, this Christ was not of this temple, amen, built by hands, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes and the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. He began to purge this man's conscience, amen, as this man came to himself, amen, and this because this was before the sacrifice of Christ, but it talked about killing the fatted calf. The fatted calf was brought forth for one thing, amen. Yes, it was to have the feast. Yes, it was, but the first thing was without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So we need to know tonight, amen, that as the fatted calf was brought forth, it was to cover the sins of the Son, amen, hallelujah, until there would be the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And once he made that sacrifice, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19, for when Moses has spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. This young man's sin was covered by the blood when they killed the fatted calf. But hallelujah, tonight, verse 24, for Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of those. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. They were talking about, Brother Green was talking about the reapers and the world. Sister Green was talking about the end of the world in Matthew 24. This scripture is talking about the end of the world when Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, it's the end of the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, tonight, church. As this man came to himself and come back and repented, he received the robe of righteousness, the ring of righteousness, and the ribeye of righteousness, so to speak, as the cattle, a fatted calf that was given. And the Bible says that is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. He said, here's my son that was dead, but is now alive. What made him alive? Because he received, and God had, just as it says in Isaiah 61, the Father robed him in righteousness, gave him a ring, signifying that he was still the son, and put on new shoes. As Brother Green brought out, whosoever comes to Christ makes all things new. His righteousness, amen, makes all things new. As he robes us, as he gives us the ring, and as he clothes us and adorns us with his righteousness tonight. Amen. It's revealed from heaven tonight, church. It's time for rejoicing. It's time for feasting. It's time for that when we come back to the Father's house and repent. That was what John did, amen. Amen, in the spirit of Elijah. It talks about in Malachi chapter 4, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers. There's unity tonight. There's righteousness tonight. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, no matter all the substance, maybe it's time for you to come home. It's time that you come home to the Father of righteousness. He's got a robe waiting for you. He's got a ring waiting for you. And the blood has already been spilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, that will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and make you righteousness in Christ. We're born again and we're begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will you receive his salvation tonight? Will you receive his righteousness tonight? All you have to do is come back and come to the Father and confess your sins and say, I have come back tonight. It's up to you. Will you make the reason and righteousness? Paul, the Apostle Paul, come, and King Agrippa said, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Are you persuaded of the righteousness of Christ tonight? Almost will not get you there. You have to be fully persuaded, as the Apostle Paul was. Will you receive his righteousness, and will you let, amen, the feast begin as we come together, that we are all alive and not one's dead. Remember, as the song that said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. or a seed begging bread. God doesn't make you a beggar. He makes you righteousness. Righteousness exalts us to the nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. Tonight you have a choice, sin or righteousness. It's up to you. Will you receive it and accept it in Jesus' name? Go ahead, Sister, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. And Pastor John's telling you the truth. If you've not made that step, I tell you, there's no better time than right now. You can't fix your mess. You can't pay off your car, your house, your bills. You can't wait till the right spouse comes along. Right now is the time that you need to give your heart to the Lord. We're not promised tomorrow, praise God, but you know, we are promised eternal life through Jesus Christ. If we were to leave here tomorrow, whether it be by the way of the grave, whether the Lord Jesus comes back, we don't know when he's coming back. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, but be ready. John the Baptist, he preached, get ready, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Praise God. So Jesus Christ already came, and he prepared that way for you and I. He already paved the path for you to walk. It's up to you to walk it. Praise God. God is merciful. He's a good God. There was a caller that called in, and the area code is 510. If you're still listening by computer, we encourage you to call back. We invite you to call back and just share with us what you have. We only go by the King James Version Bible. To us, that's the only Bible. It's the true Word of God, undefilable. Praise the Lord. And we want you to call back. So if you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. If you don't want to call, sometimes maybe you want to give us an email. Give us your opinion if you like. And if you have any prayer requests, a testimony, we sure appreciate those. And we always love to give God all the glory for what he's doing. We want to pray over these requests. Pastor John, he turned in those requests. Remember his wife. And remember Brother Yearwood. He was in with us, and they've left us. We're praying that he's okay. I know he was having trouble breathing. So over all the requests that's been turned in, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling us, Lord. Gave us a chance, dear God. Be a servant of yours, dear God, to worship you and in truth, dear Lord God. Touch Brother Wayne Gifford's church, dear God. If they travel home tomorrow, keep them, Lord, safe on the highway. We thank you, dear God, for doing that, Lord, and watch over them, dear God.
Our glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Father. Give you glory and honor.
Yes, Lord, Lord, touch the samples, dear God, in her body, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch Brother Eddie Bolton, dear God. Lord, strengthen him in his back, dear God, in his body, Lord. To see what he has need of, Lord. Brother Yearwood, strengthen his lungs, dear Lord, his lungs, as well as Clinton's, dear Lord. Touch his lungs in the name of Jesus throughout the land, dear God, throughout the entire world, Lord, them that need, Lord Jesus, to know you, God. Send your spirit, ministering angel, Lord, to bid them to come, Lord, and that they would give their heart over to you, Lord. Save souls tonight, dear God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for doing it, God. We praise you. Thank you for your word, dear God. In the name of Jesus, praise you, dear God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go out with this here song, and we just thank you, Pastor John, for calling in and helping us out there. We always appreciate you, and thank God for what you stand for, brother. And we know... like you said the other night when you preached, that we've never met on this earth, but we know each other by the Spirit. You know Brother Green and I, and we know you, And we thank God for you. We know you stand for what's right, and we know that you stand on the Word of God, the true Word of God. And we appreciate the Word that comes out of you. We can tell there's been much study, and you've got such a wonderful spirit about you, and we just thank God for you. And we just wanted to say that. And come back, everybody, next week as we minister again, Lord willing, next Friday night. Remember Brother Yearwood's broadcast. It's on Tuesday at 6 p.m. It's Reaching the World for Christ, blogtalkradio.com/reachingtheworldforchrist. And that's on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Pastor John, you want to tell where your church is at and locate it?
We're located in Thompson, Georgia, about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia, 114 East Main. We meet on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, and right now we're meeting on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. We just want to thank everybody and for the opportunity. And I appreciate also Brother and Sister Green, and appreciate their spirit and appreciate the opportunity to minister with them. We are, the Bible says, know them that labor among you, and I know them by the Spirit, and I appreciate their love and just the reaching out, and it's just been a privilege to be able to minister with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Not only tonight, but over the last year, well, last couple of years, actually, so praise the Lord for that.
Praise God. Amen. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to we've got 4 minutes, and we're just going to play this here song and keep Brother Yearwood in your prayers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The church.
Praise the Lord. Good night, y'all.
Good night.